What's up, One Pride Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Lions Basement Banter. As you can see here, we got some stuff coming in the mail. The logo is humongous on this because I wanted to blow it up and make sure that it was real good and sexy for you guys. And I put it on and I'm like, oh my God, it is sexy. I was right. So check us out. Right now it's Printify. I think it's Lions Banter, Printify Me, or something like that. It's on our X page, and we've got it other places. Check it out. The other thing, I'm actually doing a lot of these based on what's up in this weird head. So if you guys have any ideas of what you want to see, let me know, and we'll see if we can get it out to you. So let's go to the main event, because we don't have a whole lot going on. Actually, we do. We have one thing. Mike O'Hara, a longtime Lions beat writer, is retiring, and I didn't even know that, actually. But Dan Campbell this week took a minute during one of his media sessions, I guess, to basically point out the accolades and stuff. When I have in my notes that I've never really understood why the Jim Jones followers and drinking the Kool-Aid and stuff. I know we joke about like Lions fans drinking the Kool-Aid, but I never really understood how people could be so crazy. Dude, with Dan Campbell, I get it now. This dude is awesome. I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. Not wherever sure. He goes, he's a leader, man. Whatever he says, I'll follow. He's awesome. I love hearing him talk. The stuff he has to say just makes me want to run through a wall, I guess. Everybody wants to say that, but it's the truth. So
that's a strange comparison for you to make, but I guess.
Dan Campbell, Jim Jones, drinking the Kool-Aid.
Okay.
So like I said, we don't have a whole lot, so we'll move into the main event here. We're going to keep going here with Dan Campbell and his pressers. And one thing he said is he wants the whole enchilada this year. Obviously, that's what you're supposed to say. His message to his guys, though, is to look at what you want in February, where you want to be, and work your way back from there. What do you think about that? I mean, is that the attitude to have? A lot of people will say, you know, we take it day by day. We do this, we do that. He's actually saying, envision you holding that trophy at the end and then work it back.
Well, that's all. I mean, that's what everybody is their goal. That's what everyone's goal is, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
But it's just the media training of you say take it one day at a time, because if you get too far ahead of yourselves, then you're going to get tracked back by saying you were focused on something bigger than what you should have been. If you would have taken it game by game, maybe you would have gotten there, but that's just not the reality of it. Of course, everyone focuses on their opponent each week before they focus on what's coming after that, but the back of their minds, the goal is always the same, and that's getting to the end and getting to the Super Bowl and hoisting the trophy.
Yeah, and I like the fact that he's not getting hung up on cliches. He never really has. He's not getting hung up on cliches, other than saying he wants the whole enchilada. Maybe I should not have said that, but I like the fact that he says, you know, set your goals. Like, that's the real world. That's what you do. You set your goals and you look at that goal, and that's what you're working towards. But like you said, it seems like that's kind of the thing, where it's kind of the socially accepted moniker to say, you know, take it day by day, game by game, blah, blah, blah. And we do that. You know, the team does that, I'm sure. But you also got to look at your goals at the end, and it seems like that's going to get them prepared for a long season and hopefully the longest season out of everybody. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of the whole enchilada, and I'm saying that because somebody else said it during his press conference and segued in, and I thought it was awesome, but Aleem McNeil was actually seemingly jokingly thrown out there as a possible fullback this year. Campbell actually made it sound like it might not necessarily be so unreasonable. Do you foresee that? Do you see a smaller, more compact, refrigerator Perry type situation? Or,
well, they would have if they're going to do it, it's just going to be like a small package of plays that they have.
Yep.
Where they can use him. They're not that you don't take one of your best defensive players and risk injury by putting him out there in an offensive situation where more than likely not going to make that big of a difference. I mean, if you're going to put him out there to block, I guess, then that's fine. Or if you're going to, you know, hand it off to him and let him bulldoze a yard, that's fine. I don't see the need. I think it's fun, but it's not smart to put him out there as a fullback.
Right. I mean, honestly, yeah, Malcolm Rodriguez makes more sense as far as, you know, build, ability, in that regard, I would say.
And
not
the
ability.
Fact that we don't really need him as a starter, so right. It makes more sense.
That's another good point. Yeah, risk injury or anything like that. You know, somebody posted his stat line for last year and said, you know, what do you want to see? I think it was Woodward actually said, what do you want to see out of Aleem this year? And I actually put, I'd be cool with seeing something like, you know, the same stat line. I think it was 35, 36 tackles, 5 sacks, 10 quarterback hurries. I'd be cool with that because, you know, DJ Reader's going to come in. If he's healthy, you're going to see the same type of stuff. So get our edge rushers with some more sacks, and I'm good with him, you know. Taking a step forward would be nice, but that's a good stat line for me. But then I also threw in there, kind of trolling a little bit, but I said, you know, I'd also like to see 10 carries, 24 yards, 6 touchdowns, or 6 first downs and a touchdown or something. So, you know, there's a little bit of trolling going on there, but it would be cool to see him line up, even if it's just like he's completely out of the play and they just do it for the heck of it. It'd be fun.
Well,
so.
I think McNeil should have a bit more in terms of numbers. I don't think.
What
I
part?
Think maybe a little bit all of it, to
okay.
be honest, because
okay.
DJ Reader is DJ Reader, but he's not going to be a sack guy.
He's a space eater.
That's what I'm saying is he's going to eat double teams in the middle, which is going to free up Aleem. So if he's not getting to the quarterback more consistently, then there's a problem because it means he's not defeating his one-on-ones.
Yep.
And that's a problem. I think he should be getting back there.
And he can.
But anywhere from 7 to 9 sacks this year would be good to me.
Let's stick with Woodward. Let's stick with the defensive line. Somebody actually threw out there, and I'm kind of spitballing here because this is off of our schedule, but they actually threw out, would you rather see Jameson Williams hit 1,000 yards receiving, or would you rather Hutch got 15 sacks this year? And I'll tell you my answer if you want to hear it first. I think I'd rather see Hutch get 15 sacks because to me that means that defensive line has increased their potential or met their potential more so this year than they did last year. It also means that our secondary has held guys in check enough for him to get those 15 sacks. So that would be such a step forward in the defense for me. I think I'd rather give up. I think Jamo's going to be good if he's healthy for at least 750. You know, just basically based on what kind of you know, volume he's going to get. So 1,000 yards really to me wouldn't be that big of a thing for me.
No, I think we need to see Hutch get up there in that sack total because then he'll silence a lot of people, and that'll also, you know, cement the fact that he'd be getting a new contract just based on his year-to-year increase in production. For Jameson Williams, I'm going to be honest with you, unless we see some kind of, you know, monster contribution or he continues to contribute the way he has and is okay with accepting less money because of that, I don't see him lasting in Detroit past his rookie deal. Just because we've got so many guys to pay, I don't think we're going to be able to afford what he's going to ask.
That's another good argument, is we're going to pay Hutch. The way this is going next year, we're going to pay Hutch. I mean, that's just what we've kind of done. That's the kind of contract we're headed towards. You know, you don't, the number 2 overall pick, you don't not pay that guy if he's doing well. So, you know, 12 to 15 sacks, I think anything under 12 to me would be a loss this season, in my opinion. If he's healthy all the way through,
yeah.
I think anything under 12 to me would be a disappointment. That's a good word. And I think JMO, I would love for JMO to show out, but I also think, like you said, like, JMO might not end up being a long-term guy here, and it could either be that he didn't show out, which I think he will, but it could also be that we just can't afford him. And that's going to be a problem, not a problem, but that's going to be a reality of this team going forward. We've drafted so well the last 3 years. We're going to lose guys because we can't pay every single one of them. So hopefully JMO shows out and does what we need him to while he's here, and we'll see what happens from there. So.
Well, the good thing about drafting the way we have, too, is that, you know, we're not just going to lose. Like, they're not just going to walk away in free agency, most of them, unless they're, what Holmes will do is he'll he'll shop them around. If he knows that they're not going to get a long-term deal done, it's looking like that, then he'll shop them around.
Get
and that's when you do get
something.
Some picks back.
Yep.
Or you, I mean, if it's a guy that, you know, isn't going to demand a lot of stuff back in terms of compensation, then you just let him walk and you get a compensatory pick, which is not ideal because it's probably going to land in the third round at best.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's unfortunate that you had to draft these players and then some of them aren't going to end up with the team after their first 4-year contract, but it's the way it goes. And one way or another, Brad Holmes will get his worth out of those guys, whether it be re-signing them or getting something back for them.
Yep. Yeah. So a couple happenings that's went on during the OTAs or the practices. So, you know, just a couple updates. Dan Campbell came on and he said basically all players that they acquired this year. I know the joke, and it's not really a joke, it's actually kind of honest, but Brad Holmes likes to take the guys that are, you know, on expiring contracts or injured. Essentially, that's kind of what the joke is. Dan Campbell came on and said every person right now, barring any kind of setback, other than, you know, Mosley is one that we already kind of know. He was on the team. We already know what we expect that on his timeline because it'll be the exact same as last year. Barring a setback, all the guys that we have acquired should be set to go for training camp, with the exception of DJ Reader, who is going to be kind of a wait and see, but they do think that he'll be good during training camp at some point. So,
not great to hear. And in my opinion, just because he's torn that quad, same quad twice now.
Yep.
Not great to hear that he's
Was it the same one, for real?
I think it was. I think that's what I remember, because that's why he wasn't so, like, he wasn't a huge sought-after free agent, necessarily.
Okay.
That's why he wasn't gone in the first whatever.
Let's hope it heals back stronger, then.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's not a surprise. I'm hoping that they're giving him the time, extra time to heal, that's going to make a difference and he'll be able to be at 100% the entire year, but you never know with injuries like that.
It's completely possible that that's what they're doing. They just have a long timeline. He's heard it twice and they're, you know, trying to keep it so that he's, you know, who cares? He misses half a training camp, whatever. I'd rather miss half a training camp. I'm sure the staff would too. Would rather him miss half a training camp than miss half the season. So we're playing to win in, you know, December, January, and February, and not win in August, too. So, to kind of change that quote a little bit. Khalil Dorsey. I know there's a little bit of talk on if he's even going to make the team or if he's going to be practice squad or what he's going to be. I think he's going to be a special teamer. He'll be on the team. He played well this week in practice, man. I saw some really good highlights of him. He had 2 pick sixes, 1 in each of the last 2 days, or the first 2 of the 3 days this week. On that, towards the end, he actually got injured. They had to cart him off at the end of the middle practice. And it sounds like MCDC mentioned that they avoided major injury with it. It was just an ankle tweak or something. So it's not one of those real big guys, but I've been a Khalil Dorsey fan for a while. First of all, he wears 30. That's my favorite number. So there's always that. But I just like his speed. I like that he's willing to do a lot of things. He catches passes on 4th and whatever. So, yeah, I just I'm glad to hear that he's healthy and he's doing well. Also, shout out to Khalil. We posted something and he retweeted that, so that was pretty cool to see too. But
I'm not convinced on Khalil Dorsey.
Really? Okay. You weren't last year either though. Okay, hold on. Stop. I'll pose this question to you. If you had to choose a spot on this roster, there's 52 guys, but there's one roster spot left. It's between him and Kendall Vildor. Who are you putting on this team?
That's a stupid question.
No, it's not, because it might come down to that. I'm telling you, I think Kendall Vildor is going to end up on the practice squad, and Dorsey's going to be on the team.
You got other players, though, that are still
I'm saying if it came down to those two for that last spot, who would you take?
Probably Khalil Dorsey, just because of speed.
We're done.
No, we're not dumb. So, no, Khalil Dorsey, I'm not saying I'm not convinced that he's not worthy of a spot. I'm not convinced he's going to make the team just because look at what we saw last preseason with guys that we had showing out in the secondary that didn't make the team. Chase Lucas was on an unreal clip in the preseason.
Yeah, but we also were keeping idiots like Will Harris.
Yeah, but that's different because you know how they value versatility in special teams. And
Khalil Dorsey.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that Chase Lucas didn't make it after being in an unreal clip. There, I don't remember who there were. There was another undrafted free agent. I think it was the one that was out of Saginaw Valley or whatever, who was playing pretty well. He didn't make the team.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that one.
But there, Stephen Gilmore ended up making the team, and that was a bit of a shock.
Kind of, over Lucas it was, yeah.
He just kind of played. He had a few more big splash plays, I think, that kind of cemented him, but... it might come down to Stephen Gilmore might lose his job, and then they might just slot Khalil Dorsey in there. There's a lot of guys in the secondary now. There's a lot of competition.
Good thing. I'm okay with that. Yeah. If we have to lose Khalil because of that, then I'm okay with that. Because
I don't think Amik Robertson's going to be a lock to make that team. I just don't think they're going to move. If they move on from him, it'll be shocking because they just gave him a contract in free agency. You don't really do that.
Right. And then pop him on the practice squad or whatever. Yeah. Okay. I think I shouldn't have asked you that question because I almost kind of knew where that was going. But the Khalil Dorsey thing, like the one thing I would say where he might not make it, and this is, I guess I'm going to halfway agree with you. We have, he's kind of that versatile guy, right? So he's got speed. He's got all this stuff. We've got people like Sione Vaki. We've got, there's just a lot of players that we've acquired, like you're kind of saying in the secondary, but even on special teams, we've acquired a lot of players that are capable. So we'll see what happens. I don't mean to like stay with Khalil Dorsey talk all day, but we'll see what happens with him. He's just had a really good couple of practices. Shout out to Allen Iverson. We're talking about practice, so. Gibbs was out this week with a soft tissue injury. It sounds like they were just kind of taking it easy. They don't want to risk anything more major. It didn't sound like it was anything too scary. You expect that kind of thing out of, one of your main guys here.
Well, you would see him playing through that if it was regular season. He'd be playing. Yeah. This is just them saying there's no reason to push it right now. We're in off season, so just let it heal.
He's got whatever he's got practices coming up, he's got training camp coming up, he's got whatever else to get ready, so I think he'll be all right. And I believe he was still out there working with Ben Johnson and seeing what was going on too. Brian Branch was still out. That wasn't a shock either. It sounded like we weren't sure if he was going to be quite ready for training camp even. So we'll see how that goes.
He's still in the boot probably. So.
That one makes me a little nervous. I know it was like Dan Campbell wants to stand up there and say, he's just had a little cleanup done, I think it was his actual words. It's a little nerve-wracking.
Well, that makes sense.
But
did he have surgery during the season? I don't think he did.
I think it was after. No, because he was out there. Remember, he got hurt the one game, and then
so
they put him back
is,
out.
Then. That's all it is he had that injury
some
early
fluid
in the
on
year,
his ankle or
and
something.
He missed some time, and then he came back and played. So what they're doing now is they're taking the time to correct whatever they need to correct to make sure he's at 100%, and that's not going to linger at all, which
hopefully
is fine
that's
with
the
me.
Case. Hopefully that's the case.
They would
it should be.
It would have been noted more in the news if it was anything more than that. People would have known, Rapoport and them. They
that's
would have
true.
Been on that.
That's true. The fact that he showed up in a boot on, in a random picture, I think it was welcoming Terry and Arnold to I almost said Florida. What am I thinking?
Detroit.
To Detroit. welcoming him to Detroit.
Vacation on the mind.
Yeah, I'm wishing. But, the fact that that showed up and there was no context and prior to that, that kind of makes you feel a little better about it. Asked about, Dan Campbell was asked about, whether or not, he believes that players play better or harder in a contract year. And he basically said he doesn't believe in contract years. And if his players are, playing for a contract only in their final year of one, he doesn't want them. Basically, he's got the wrong guys in there. So that's always good to hear, too. Again, that's just building that culture, basically building the culture of the one pride and all grit and, all of the whatever monikers we can throw at it, I guess. But
yeah,
that's kind of...
There's been too much emphasis on contract years. I don't think people need to put as much emphasis on them unless they're players who have been slacking for the majority of their rookie deal, or if it's someone who was injured and missed time, so they're now, you know, saying, oh, it's a contract year, so they're going to have this exceptional performance to make them have to pay them.
So are you saying that you don't believe that people actually do play better in a contract year? Or is
I think most players just play they play the way they're gonna play.
Yeah.
That doesn't have anything to do with it. I think there are some that are more money motivated that may play exceptionally well in a contract year just because they know what's at stake. But that, those, like you said, those are the ones that Dan Campbell doesn't want. So that's like a Justin Jefferson type guy. Like, you're not going to... I know he plays exceptionally well,
but those are the guys that are
going to
sit.
But he will be more money motivated.
Those are the ones that are going to sit out. And that's the other thing with contract years. It's almost in the NFL become not a thing because... Guys sit out, guys don't report to camp, guys don't do this, guys don't do that. So you don't even, most of the time, you don't even get to the regular season where they're worried about that kind of thing in an actual contract year. Like, that's usually totally, totally different. So let's move on here. So Dan Campbell mentioned in his last presser here, I believe it was his last one, basically that his defense is learning to do other things. Like, so they're such a tight-knit group, and you know, they're basically, Aaron Glenn has them so you know, together and good to go on the play sheets and everything like that, that they're actually starting to do things other than first assignments. So basically what he's saying is, you know, I think he actually said, like, if we don't have a Sam Laporta out there, you know, the guy that was going to be on a Sam Laporta, if you've got somebody that's more of a blocking tight end, like, you're going to switch over and you're going to go help out the DB, or you're going to do this or that. And that's really awesome. I thought that was really awesome that they're practicing that in OTAs. Like, that's that's ahead of the curve. Like, they're ahead of schedule. So I think this defense, you heard it here first, this defense could end up being a top 10 defense. It could easily, if they do what they did against the run and keep that going, but then they increase their productivity with the passing game as well as we hope they will, they could be top 10. I could see them being even top 7.
Yeah, I think they'll land somewhere in like the 15 to 10 range is where I'm guessing. But I think anything lower than that means that whatever we did this offseason didn't work.
Yeah.
And that'll mean Carlton Davis didn't pan out or whatever, which is fine because we can just move on from him after this year.
What are we doing with him? Are we just waiting for, is this like essentially a 1 year, like, prove it contract? Like, we had 1 year left on it, we're just going to leave it at that and see?
Well, yeah, I think so.
What if he shows out? I don't think, a bidding war.
I don't think they're going to re-sign him, to be honest with you. He's still youngish, but...
That's why we took Terrion and Rake.
Yeah, I think this is a year to have a established veteran at your number one spot and let your number one pick in the draft, who was probably the number one corner on a lot of big boards, let him learn and let him develop a little bit without being thrown right into that number, got to go up against the number one receiver. That can shake a confidence really early if you're not playing well.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be what this year is, and then hopefully he plays well at that number two spot, and they transition him into the number one next year. That allows Rakestraw to, you know, come, you know, get better too, and maybe he moves to a number two corner, or Amik moves there next year or whatever. But you still got Brian Branch.
What do we get, Amik on 2 years?
I think he's got two. It's either 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
It's a multi-year contract.
I think it was like $7.5 million or something like that per year.
I think it's 2 years.
Okay. speaking on that, you know, your second assignments and doing all that, it was really funny. Dan Campbell quoted and said, you know, you can't be a Ron Burgundy and just read off the teleprompter. That was a for real laugh out loud moment for me. I thought that was hilarious. But then you spoke about Terrion Arnold, and not wanting him to go against a number one guy right away. You know, don't put him up against Justin Jefferson in the first game against the Vikings. Let's not do that. But the fact that he comes preloaded with so much confidence, I'm saying, like, I can't believe. You see him, like, I'm looking at highlights of other guys, like, catching a pass. Like, I think there was even one where he was guarding, I think he was actually guarding Amon-Ra, and Amon-Ra made the catch, but I think there was one where he actually walked over and he kind of, like, you know, slapped the ball from Amon-Ra, or, like, kind of tried to or something. Like, yeah, they're playing around, but, dude, that's a first-year guy in OTAs with, in my opinion, what could possibly be a future Hall of Fame wide receiver. Like that's crazy to me. He's got so much confidence. I hope that he keeps it, and I hope we don't do anything to make, you know, to ruin that,
I guess.
He's
going
to
need that confidence coming in, because even though we talked about maybe not being against the number one receiver, if you look even in our division at what he's going to have to go up against, he's without going against the number one receiver,
a
the
1B.
Bears, you're going to have either, you know, you're probably going to have Keenan Allen, maybe Darnell Mooney, if he resurrects from last year. Last year was awful for him, but you're going to have Keenan Allen there. For the Packers, they've got so many different wide receivers. If whoever shakes out as the number one, I'm assuming Romeo Doubs, you'll have a Christian Watson or a Jaden Reed or a Dontavian Wicks, someone like that you're going to have to go up against.
Those are big names for second and third and fourth receivers.
Yeah, and then you go into Minnesota, and it's not Justin Jefferson, then it's Jordan Addison. There's a lot of guys that are not their number one, but they could be a number one somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to not have confidence in yourself and go out there and match up against those guys. So that's a good thing
for him to have. And you, I mean, even a step further, you go, you said the Bears, you said maybe Keenan Allen. I mean, you've got DJ Moore, you've got Romo Odunze. I mean, they're like, they've got a possible wide receiver one, A, B, C, and D over there, to be honest with you.
Darnell Mooney's not number one.
They just don't have a quarterback that can throw the ball to them.
I'm not convinced. Darnell Mooney is not number one. I'm just not, just for the sake of saying this.
He's a 1D.
He'll be a 3 receiver this year, I think. And I think Romo Odunze is going to be good, but he's going to be a number 2 this year. I don't think he'll be in that 1A, B, C, whatever you said. It'll be 1A, will
okay,
be DJ
okay, okay,
Moore,
okay.
1B.
I was going to, I thought you were saying 1-2, and I'm like,
no,
wait a minute.
No, 1A, DJ, 1B,
okay.
Keenan, and
I got you.
A solid actual number 2 will be Romo Odunze.
It'll be 1 and 2. It'll be, yeah, it'll, Keenan Allen will already be injured by the time this happens. So
by the time this podcast is over, he's already torn an ACL.
Oh, we can't do that because the whole, like, making a list of who we wish. Oh, man, yeah, that was.
Well, we don't do that. I'm
no,
just
no.
saying in reality, he, that guy tears an ACL every single year.
I know. About game 3, game 4, it's, he's good for it, guys. Go ahead and draft him on your, you know, if you're feeling salty or feeling froggish or whatever you want to say, go ahead and draft him in your fantasy. See how that works out for you.
I would draft him anyway because he might fall quite a bit now being a number 2 receiver technically. And with the injury history, he'll probably fall quite a bit. You might be able to get him as a reserve.
That's true. And he's going to probably stay on your reserve as an injured reserve. Okay, moving on. undrafted free agent James Turner out of Michigan is spelling some good things for the Lions as a team and some bad things for some fans around the Lions.
So what's going on with him? Because I haven't seen anything. Is he hitting?
He is out kicking Michael Badgley right now in practice.
Distance-wise, you're saying? Or is he just going shot for shot with him in terms of makes?
Yep, making more. He's okay. When they're doing like their two-minute drill and it's down to a field goal, he's making them. Badgley's missing them. I'm not saying Badgley's missing all of them, but he's making more than Badgley is. He's doing better as a kicker overall than Badgley was in OTAs.
Well,
it's only OTAs.
What you're saying is this spells bad news in case anyone was wanting Jake Bates from the Michigan Panthers.
Yes,
is what you're saying, but
pretty much.
I disagree because what I think this means is if he's already outproducing Badgley, we didn't give Badgley any
major
certainties.
Money or anything.
Yeah, and this is an undrafted free agent. We're not just going to hedge our bets on him because he's doing well in a practice squad.
Okay.
What could happen is if Badgley's underperforming and we're already seeing that he's not giving any competition to an undrafted free agent, then we might just cut Badgley and we might still bring in Jake Bates to battle with the undrafted free agent. Worst thing that comes from that is maybe Jake Bates outplays the undrafted free agent. We end up with him and then the undrafted free agent goes on the practice squad. And maybe he gets picked up somewhere else. But, I mean, I think the worst case scenario is we get rid of Badgley.
Look at the cogs of this guy's mind go. You guys always ask me secretly on X, like, why I keep him around and why he's on this show and, you know, all this stuff. That's why. None of that actually
happens.
I thought
it was just because of my good looks.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, that's it. but yeah, okay. I hadn't thought of that. Badgley could be practice squad guy. He could actually not even exist on the team anymore, and we could still get Jake Bates. We're still not sure what the Jake Bates thing is going to be. You could end up with, you know, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 teams interested in him. So,
well, there's
going to
be
know.
Other interest, but he's worth taking a flyer on, and he
yeah,
might
for
just,
sure.
He might make this his first choice just because he's already here. Why would you shake a good thing?
Yeah, he's playing at Ford Field.
If his agent is smart, he'll look at the schedule that we have coming up and notice that he's playing in Ford Field for a lot of games, right?
13 indoor games.
But there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of indoor games, and he struggled outdoors. You're only going to have to play 4 games outdoors,
yep.
Which, you know, if he struggles in those ones, then he struggled in 4 games out of, you know, the out of 17. So I don't think I think most people would take that from a kicker.
At least give him a shot. At least give him a shot. Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping that happens. The one thing that I'm almost positive of is that we're not going to overpay for a kicker. I mean, this team, you know, Brad Holmes has made it abundantly clear and obvious that kicker is not something we're super worried about.
He's not going to demand a lot of money, and if he
no,
does, that's insane.
Not for a first contract.
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
That is basically our main event. There's not a whole lot.
Sticking with the Michigan.
That's not our main event.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying sticking with the Michigan Panthers, I do want to float out there that if we want to add another piece to our defensive line, we need to take a look at Breland Speaks,
yep.
The defensive end there, because he just won the
defensive player of the year
in the UFL. He's already
eight
has.
Sacks?
He already. I don't remember what he had.
He had three in the last game I watched him play.
But he has NFL experience. He played there before going to the UFL. So it wouldn't shock me if he's going to get interest in other places. I don't know if the Lions will be one of them. But if we want to bring in someone else to battle for that opposite edge, why not bring in a guy like that?
Yeah. And again, I still put it out there. I agree with you. He could be a sidestep from Marcus Davenport, to be honest with you. He could be. I think a lot of people are forgetting about James Houston, though. I will say that.
I'm not forgetting about him.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying I still see, like, all these people, like, what are we going to do? Do you guys, like, go back and look at the first 3 games of the season and look how many times James Houston is in the backfield? Like, it's scary. Like, he was good the year before at the end of the year. He was right on the same pace at the beginning of this last year until he broke his ankle.
I still think he's the clear number 2 option right now. I don't know if I'm not putting Marcus Davenport over him.
Don't think so either. Nope. I don't think so either. I think he's a depth piece and he could end up being a really good depth piece. One thing that kind of shocked me, here's something that shocked me. I saw a Mike Payton from A to Z Sports. I saw a Mike Payton list in which he put Dan Skipper on the practice squad to start the season.
That's not shocking.
That doesn't shock you.
No, Dan Skipper's been on the practice squad already for us multiple times.
Right, but to start the season?
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me at all.
After we have players that, well, yeah,
yeah
I guess. We still got the tackles. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I was just surprised to see that we might start with that at the beginning of the season. But
that's one of those high, you know, somebody might pick him up, but he's not going to be a starter somewhere, most likely. He's just, to me, doesn't have that caliber to be a starter. So if someone's going to pick him up, it's going to be for depth. And I guess, you know, if we lose him, we lose him. That's unfortunate.
Maybe he decides he wants to stay here, and he looks at the guys and says, I refuse to report. I did not freaking
get
report.
Out of here. Okay.
You never know.
Well, we'll move off of that and move into our That Was Random. Starting off in the division, Justin Jefferson signed a new deal worth $140 million. It's a 4-year extension.
Yep. What do you think?
I mean, there's never going to be a time where I will tell you that Justin Jefferson is overpaid. Do I think it's still crazy to pay a wide receiver that much money when, you know, you're going to have to pay other positions that are of more importance? Yes. But Justin Jefferson's a top 5 player in the NFL right now. You cannot not pay that guy.
we didn't pay Amon-Ra that much less.
That's not.
I'm just saying. You think that's a lot of money. I'm just saying. We can't have our cake and eat it too. We didn't pay him that much less.
No.
I think it was 4 for $120. I think.
Yeah, but it's still what we did is structure it very well. I don't know how they structured theirs, so it might be more team friendly as well. But and if they did, I mean, good for them. Then that's fine. But Amon-Ra was gonna make less money than him regardless, just because he's not the consensus number one receiver in the NFL. Justin Jefferson is the consensus number one receiver.
Right, and here's the thing. If you had waited for this, it would have sucked because we would have paid more. Mm-hmm. Because CD is going to come in here, CD Lamb, and he's going to make four years, 135. He's not going to be that much lower.
Maybe. He might make more than that.
Maybe. They might go higher than Justin Jefferson. I don't think so. I don't know. The Cowboys are in a poverty franchise at this point. They won't pay their guys. But
should they pay their guys?
Not saying that. I was just getting ready to say Dak deserves it. But anyway, I think we did. Basically, what this tells me is that we got Amon-Ra at the right time. Would I have liked to have done it before the AJ Brown one? Even yes, but I think if we had to pick a time to do it, I'm glad we did it before Justin Jefferson signed.
Yeah.
Because he just reset that market again. So, do you have anything else about Justin Jefferson? Or are you feeling good about that? Are you good there?
No, we're going to stay in the division, though. I mean, coming up now, you've got, talking about the Vikings still, they released a new jersey this week, and it's a whiteout, similar to what the Bengals kind of did with their whiteout, but a little bit. You know, it's going to be Minnesota's twist on it. So
it's close to them.
They've got
the
more
Browns.
Silver
the Browns
accents and that purple. And they went with the white Viking horn.
The helmet, dude.
On their helmet. And it, I'm
I don't
never
like the
gonna,
uniform.
I'm never going to just jaw about a division opponent when they don't. Well, okay, I'll scratch that. I'll jaw about a division opponent if they don't deserve it. But this is genuinely a very clean jersey uniform combo.
I don't like the uniform. I like the helmet.
Okay,
I don't like the
uniform.
I
guess whatever. My opinion is null and void because Zach thinks it's... No.
No, I'll keep going.
It all works well together. The helmet and the jersey works well together. And I think... I don't really know what else you could have done with the jersey. I think everything looks fine. The helmet, yes, makes the entire thing, but it works well together, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have rather seen like a little bit of the yellow or gold or whatever they have, like whether that was the Vikings and, you know, the word Vikings across the chest or whatever. I don't know. I just wanted to see a little more color. I know the point is a whiteout, but it would have been a little cooler to see a little more color. But
yeah, I didn't want to see. No, I didn't want to see the gold anywhere on it. I don't think that has a place in a jersey like that.
Well, they made it so they hid the word Vikings because they are, you know, embarrassed to be the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
So they made it so you can't actually
see
it.
Let's move on. So this last one here we have on, well, not last one. I have something else, but the Cowboys' Larry Allen passed away at 52 years old. One of the greatest offensive linemen ever to do it in NFL history. He was a Hall of Famer, and he played his first 12 seasons in Dallas before he went to San Fran for 2 years to finish his career. Obviously, condolences to his family.
Way too young.
Great player, obviously. Mm-hmm. Unfortunate that he had to play for the Cowboys and the 49ers. That's unfortunate. But
that's true.
Great player. I don't know much else about him other than he was a really good offensive lineman.
Yeah, it only could have been worse if he played for Philly, so we'll move off of that. But yeah, condolences, like you said, to his family. That's way too young, man. 52 years, that's too young. That's crazy.
Yep.
But
so,
all right, what else you got?
My last one to wrap this one up, we did get a sneak peek posted by EA Sports today about the Madden 25 cover reveal, and I want to say right now, it's been 11 years, and I remember saying this when it came out. What are we going to do with this? Madden 25.2? We've already
yeah,
had Madden
that's true.
25.
The only way to make it better would have been to put Barry on it, but we can't do that because he said, "Screw you, EA. We're not on there."
They won't. They're not gonna throw the Lions another bone. Back in this was Madden 25 originally came out as should have been Madden 14, but they changed it to 25 to honor their 25th anniversary. And they put Barry on the cover, and that was a big thing because not only was Barry on the cover, but that was the first time I think they said that they had had back-to-back covers with the same team, because in Madden 13, Calvin Johnson was on the cover. So, anyway.
So now it's Amon-Ra's turn.
They are still calling this Madden 25.
That's so dumb.
I
guess it's been long enough. They can't. I mean, it's been long enough.
Yeah, but like when now you're going to have people.
Why did they ever even break the trend? That was the dumbest thing to do that.
I understand why they did it, but like you've got to have a plan for the future, because now people, when you're clogging the waves of the internet, when people go search Madden 25, they're going to get the new Madden 25, but then they're also going to get the Xbox 360.
You're
going to
have a ton of people
Madden
buying the wrong one from
that's not gonna, that won't
10
happen.
Years ago.
That won't happen. But they released a short video clip essentially teasing the cover athlete reveal, which is going to happen on the 11th of June, so just 4 days away from us now.
And I can already reveal who it is. It's going to be Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I think there's only two players that it could be. Based on what we saw, there was some light in there that you could see shining off. It was either a red or an orange. And then you also see...
Deshaun Watson?
No, shut up. Shut up. You also hear whoever the cover athlete is saying the, you know, famed EA Sports, "It's in the game" slogan. So you can tell by the voice who it's going to be. And I can tell by the voice, he's white. I can tell that.
I disagree. I think it's going to be Deshaun Watson in the orange, and they will have implemented the sideline butt massages.
No. he's already signed on to be on MetaQuest for the massage therapist simulator. Anyway, like you said,
you're all thrown now, man.
Like you said, it's either Christian McCaffrey.
I think it is.
You can hear him talking. But the other one I heard thrown out there, which wouldn't make much sense to me putting him on there, other than it would sell a lot because of who it is. But Joe Burrow is another one. It did kind of sound like him, too, a little bit.
Oh, the orange. Okay, I didn't even think about that.
But
okay.
The other thing I'm thinking now is the orange lights could just be the combination of the colors, which would be a red and a yellow for the Niners, which would make a lighter orange type color if they were doing that.
Travis Kelce.
It didn't sound like Travis Kelce. I thought the talk that maybe they'd do a Kelce Brothers cover.
Oh, they should have. That is a drop. That's fumbled. That was dropped.
That would be a lot of money to capitalize on there, because you'd get.
Dude,
you might
that
get Swifties been dope. That would just buy it because Travis Kelce's.
I mean, I'm just saying because of the legacy. That would have been dope. They should have done that. They should have done that.
Yeah.
And then just start putting all the brothers and other stuff on there from year to year now.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I was going to say, I don't remember the last time they had a duo cover athlete, but they literally just did, because they did it with Brady and Mahomes.
Yep, that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I think the last time they did it before that, where it was two athletes, it was way back when they had Palomalu and
Larry
Fitz.
Yep.
But they did have the whole Legion of Boom on it at one
point. Oh, that's right. I forgot about the Legion of Boom. Yep, they did do that too. Yep. Was that after the Fitz and...
Yeah, that was way later.
Oh, yeah. Duh, it would have had to been. Yeah, okay.
That was probably more like 16, 17. Well, no, 16 was Odell.
So answer me this. You're getting the package, aren't you?
Yeah, I will 100% be pre-ordering the package deal of Madden with EA College Football.
He's then going to make his home Xbox here so that I can steal the games from his
No, Xbox. I'll be switching my time to Norwegian time so that I can get on even quicker. Because when you pre-order, you get 3 days early. But if
that's
you switch
bullcrap.
Here,
he just wants to beat up on the Norwegian guys Madden.
It
that's
does,
all
no,
it is.
No, because it does not change the servers you're on. It only changes what your Xbox views its time
your
zone
time?
As.
Oh my gosh.
So if you switch it to Norway, then you get on a whole day earlier.
He just wants to beat up on Norwegian 12-year-olds. I'm telling you guys that's what it is.
That's not even remotely what happened. I'd still be on the East server, so it wouldn't make any sense.
How do I get this Brazilian on here? I think it's England. Wants to host a Super Bowl soon.
I wouldn't put that past the NFL.
I think
to do,
I hope that would be the dumbest thing, dude, because we would be watching the Super Bowl at what, 9 in the morning? Why?
No,
that or they're gonna have to play it at 3 in the morning their time
they'd
or
have
whatever.
To,
or,
they'd probably have to adjust it over there to make it. But I don't think the NFL would be opposed to saying like, let's play it so that it's like 1 o'clock our time, so that the Super Bowl is happening like during the day. Instead of
man, that would suck though. I just like the Super Bowl being at night, and you know, cheering for teams
still be at night technically. The game
for them, yeah, that's true. That's true. That would look so weird, but yeah. I don't know. That's kind of what I have on that. I hope they don't do it. To be honest with you, I hope they don't. I just don't want.
Well, I'm just dreading the day that somebody moves a team over there, which is going to be ridiculous.
Jacksonville.
That's the most Jags. Likely option. They've flirted with that forever. They're the ones that always take those England games.
I heard the Falcons getting thrown in for that too. Why would they move out of Atlanta? Like that's a big city. That's big money there.
Yeah,
I'd be surprised if they did that.
I don't know. Jacksonville is the most likely thing that would happen, but
well,
because
their owner
know.
Wants it too.
I don't know how you can justify that, because how are you going to get the NFL Players Association to sign on for having to travel overseas multiple times? That division would have to travel, you know, each divisional opponent would have to travel there once.
That would make a mess for like those Thursday night games, or you know, Monday night into a Sunday game. You know, it would just make a mess.
They'd have to adjust
to do
the
it that
schedule.
Often. But yeah, I don't know. It might happen. It might not be a team that gets moved. It could be an expansion team too. Who knows? You just never know. So, I think if you expand, you got to expand two though, because you can't carry three.
Speaking of expansion teams, the NHL expansion, they're adding a Utah team.
I haven't heard about this.
Yeah, they're adding a Utah team, and this has been known for a while, but they're in the midst of you know, trying to nail down a name.
Oh, they should stick with something like the Jazz, because that's so relevant in Utah.
No, they came out with there's been like a voting thing, and they came out with like the top results out of that, and one of them was Yeti. We're going Washington vibes here, and they're thinking about doing the Utah Hockey Club.
No, are you serious?
Yes, like the Washington
football
team.
That would be like it. That would be it.
Yes.
That would be the name.
Yes.
I don't like either of those.
So they have Utah Yeti, Utah Hockey Club, the Utah Blizzards, and there were a few more out there. I'd like to shout out. Oh, here's the rest of them. Sorry. The Utah Blizzards, the Utah Venom, the Utah Outlaws, Utah Yeti, Utah Hockey Club, and the Utah Mammoth. Coming out of the first round, these were the ones that didn't make the cut.
They had
the Utah Hive, the Utah Swarm, the Utah Freeze, the Utah Frost, Utah Ice, Utah Black Diamonds. That one's actually, I like that one, because that's like skiing, snowboarding. You know, that makes sense. Utah Caribou, Utah Powder, Utah Fury,
Utah Santa Claus,
Utah Blast, Utah Canyons, Utah Glaciers,
Snowmen,
Utah Squall,
Utah Frozen 3,
and the Utah Mountaineers.
Good God, man.
But the first list I mentioned were the ones that are in the finalist voting. I don't know. I
it's whatever, man. Don't do the water or the hockey team.
Wait till you listen to this one. So Pat McAfee.
Nope, I'm already
listen,
out.
Listen. Pat McAfee did his show, and he said he had somebody on. I don't remember. It was somebody who was involved in this
I'm
whole
glad
thing.
We're not going into Caitlin Clark and
no,
Pat McAfee
no, no, no.
conversations.
Okay, yeah, no. He had somebody involved in this whole process on a show over a video call, and they were talking, and he was naming off the finalists, and Pat McAfee said, "What? No Utah Soak?
What? Oh, what?
Because Utah is where Brigham Young University is, which is the highest
no.
population of Mormons, and Soaking is a popular
that dude is color commentary, man.
It's a popular how do you say this lately? A popular loophole to their scripture of premarital sex, in which somebody shakes the bed
so there's no.
We must move on.
Too.
We're running out of time.
I thought that was
a
good option for that one. So
we're running out of time on our untimed show.
My vote is for the Utah Soak.
I hate you, man. Okay, we got to move on.
Well, if we're moving on, that's the end of the show because we're coming up to the wrap up.
We are wrapping up. I do have to throw something out there. We've got a new giveaway coming, and you guys have seen it in the bottom here.
Utah Soak merch.
No, we're not giving away Soak merch. I promise you, that's not happening.
You know when you bring him young, by the way? Jamal Williams.
Oh, gosh. Okay. The new giveaway. You've got me thrown, man. All right. We're still in the works on what this will be, but we have the pleasure of introducing Courtney, Mama Courts. You guys have seen her on X here. She's associated with Brad Holmes Bulge quite a bit here, and she has agreed to help us out by giving away a custom Lions jacket that she hand makes. She puts patches on them and does all that kind of stuff. So. We're still working on getting that out, and we're still working on what it's going to look like exactly, but it's going to be a custom jacket, and we're going to give that away as soon as we get to, what should we do? 1,500 followers? It's got to be something big.
You make the decision.
Let's do it. We'll do 1,500 followers. This is big, man. The jacket's awesome. The jackets she makes are awesome.
That's going to be a while. Unless you guys start following at an unreal rate, because we're at like 650 right now. So
yeah.
That's another 850 followers or whatever that we need.
Well, it takes a minute for her to make them. I'm telling you guys, like, she's legitimately has not made this yet. Like, this will be made for the winner. Like, this is going to be like completely custom. There won't be another one in the world like it. So we're going to run that. I think we're going to do 1,500 followers. That's not for sure what we're going to do. We're still kind of brainstorming. She's got some time. She's got some things she's dealing with right now, and she's got some other jackets I think she's got lined up too. So we want to make sure we give her the time to do it. But we also know what happens when we get certain people behind us and help us out. When Brendan's standing here with a bulge behind him, we usually get a lot more followers.
I'm going to be standing here with a Soak behind me.
wouldn't that be in front of you? Or Never mind. I'm not asking the question.
We need a poster.
I'm not asking the question. Make sure you guys follow us on X. Check us out. Hopefully, if you're watching this, you're seeing us on YouTube. Yeah, I've completely moved on from you. If you're seeing this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Make sure you like. Send us your comments. Like I said, if you see anything you want or you have any ideas for some cool Lion shirts, we can do pants, we can do mugs, we can do whatever you guys want. Show us what you're thinking, and we'll see if we can make it happen. So I guess until next time.
Yeah, go Soak.
Go Lions, baby.